never said, cause nobody else will give a damn. So we live like cage beasts, waiting for the day to let the rage free. Steal me till they kill me. I love it when they fear me. Holler if you hear me. Holler if you hear me.
You're listening to another Nerdy Show mini-series about video games. As I sit down with my teen crumpets, I'm here with Cappy. This is Cappy, and then we've got Hex. And we've got Jonna and John on the line. Everyone introduce yourselves.
You just introduced me.
Introduce yourself again. Don't interrupt the queen.
Hi, I'm Cap.
And I'm Hex.
And I'm Jonna.
And I'm John.
Yes, you are. Indeed.
And we're on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Oh, my secret cervix!
On Her Majesty's secret cervix.
Speaking
well, normally we don't title minisodes, but...
Speaking of cervixes, let's talk about Gerard and I.
Hi, I'm Brandon.
Holy God.
And that was my introduction. So let's jump into GoldenEye.
What you listened to coming in on this was... the GoldenEye opening from the Nintendo 64 game GoldenEye, that was score composed by Grant Kirklope and Graeme Norgate, followed by Holla If You Hear Me, mixed with Facility from the original GoldenEye score, mixed up by professional hip-hop producer and remixer Alex Krezovich from his Goldenfly remix album.
Oh, I remember that. That was an awesome album.
Yeah, we mentioned that back in Blackest Night Songfight. There's maybe a lot of younger people who don't really understand what the relevance of GoldenEye is. I mean, it's an old game. It's an old first-person shooter. It's for a system that people don't really have nice things to say about much.
Young kids today.
What makes it so great? Everyone says it's one of the most influential first-person shooters of all time.
And it is.
It is.
I don't know why it is, but it is.
If you had to...
I can tell you why. Okay, let me tell you why. Because my first experience with any FPS that was amazing was this game. And I would spend literally days of not sleeping in a room with my friends, taking turns, beating the shit out of each other in that game. For days. Not
and that's
sleeping.
It, right there.
Yeah, I can't think of doing that with any other game, and I can't think of doing that again with that game. But it was so good that just I would not sleep for hours and hours and hours, and all my friends would be there, and we just constantly play it. And the best thing about that game is when you're running through like a facility or any place, you can close the doors that you just went through. So you open a door, and it's like a sliding door, and you click it again when you run through and the door closes, and the guy who's chasing you is like, you motherfucker, and he has to open the door again and wait. And you can do that in every level, and it's great.
That's actually something that's not in the new game.
Yeah, there's no shutting doors on people's
which
faces.
Is too bad.
Yeah. Also, in the original game, you could shoot Baron Samedi in the top hat. It would count as a headshot.
Yeah, no, I call bullshit, because I always wanted to play as Baron Samedi, but it was just a stupid choice. It's just like, do I want to lose?
So
I don't want to lose.
You could just run around as Natalia and just karate chop people. It was great.
I remember many sleepovers at friends' houses where dude had a pool. Dude had lots of cool things at his house, but all we were doing for the entire like 48-hour period was playing GoldenEye.
Because it was the best damn thing in his house.
GoldenEye, like, as long as you can set the clock in the cavern... with paintball mode on, just making all the walls kind of splattery
mode.
Colors.
I hate paintball mode. I want my blood and my bullets to be realistic.
Paintball mode is in the new game.
I probably didn't play it as much as you guys, because I actually didn't have an N64 when I was a kid, but all my friends did. So when I'd go to their houses, I'd play it. But not as much as you guys did, though. I can probably remember the times I played it, like, count them. It wasn't hours and hours and hours.
We couldn't help it. It's like, you get up, you go to school, you do your bullshit at school, fuck the teacher, fuck the police, you get done with school, and you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with my friends? I could shoot crack.
Or your life.
I could do crack, I could shoot heroin in my veins, I could go fuck up some junkies. No, I'm gonna go home, play fucking GoldenEye, and it's gonna be great. I got all my friends there, we're just play GoldenEye nonstop. It kept me off the streets, kept me from doing drugs, kept me from drinking.
It kept you from becoming a werewolf.
It did. I said, no thank you. Played GoldenEye.
I have.
More than anyone here.
Yes, it's true.
In fact, is it a reboot? Is it a remake? What is this?
It's complicated is what it is. We got our hands on it at E3, and when Mike and I played it at E3, it was only a multiplayer demo, and we were still really confused. We didn't know what to make of it. It kind of felt like GoldenEye, but...
it has different characters. Like, the Bond is clearly the new Bond.
Yeah, it's Daniel Craig. To answer your question, here's what it is. It is a reinterpretation of both the game and the film. So, just like the original game adapted the movie as best it could for the format of a first-person shooter and the technology they had to work with and everything, This game takes what people loved about the original game and nuances from the game and things that people remember from the game and the feel of the game, and then readapts the film GoldenEye through that idea. The game starts and it is identical to the original N64 opening. It pans over the watchtower, it pans over the crossing things where the truck moves. It's identical, it's hilarious really, but you know, the graphics are updated.
And you think, like, hey, this is just gonna be a complete remake. You know, it looks exactly like the same but with updated graphics, and then after the first minute you realize the game is completely different.
It's not Bond standing like eerily still over in the corner wearing a tuxedo in the middle of this mess. It pans over to this like cliff face and Daniel Craig skates down next to Alec Trevelyan, who doesn't look anything like Sean Bean, unfortunately, because they recast everyone, and they're just having this intense spy conversation, and they go over and they beat up some guys together, and then that whole situation, that whole map is then reimagined because there's guards everywhere, you're trying to be stealthy, so you go up to the watchtower, you take out the guys quietly, you get a sniper scope, Alec takes out the two guys on the ground, and then all of a sudden some reinforcements come in and you have to snipe from the tower, and it becomes situational. And then you know how the next area was a tunnel? Well, you get in a car, and then you and Alec are driving down the tunnel.
And shit goes down.
And, you know, pretending to be Russian delivery guys. I mean, it's the same map, essentially, but it's complete. The concept is just completely reimagined. Shit does go down. You're firing from the car. There's quick time events where, like, a guy gets in the door and grabs you, and when you shake him off, like, he gets his ass killed in a very amazing way. And then the level becomes extremely different. But it's cool as hell. It's weird how the game is different in so many ways. It's modernized. It's got, like, you know, melee attacks. It has everything that you come to expect from a modern first-person shooter. But it has this weird feeling of the same kind of tight gameplay and ideas in the original GoldenEye. Take, for example, the way people made Nintendo 64 games. It was not reality. It was a three-dimensional place. But they had to interpret a realistic setting as best they could with what really insignificant tools they had. So you go into a scientist's lab and they've got this like insane chemistry setup that's like a bunch of kind of beaker shapes. But
I've got beakers and tubes. I'm a scientist.
There's a beaker that is as big as, geez, I don't know, it's probably about like 4 feet tall, a 4 foot tall beaker. There's also regular size beakers, but they want it to look like a lab set. So there's tiny beakers and there's 4 foot tall beakers and you hit them and they explode into a million triangles. It's an interpretation of reality that in a way is very dreamlike because you're like, well, I'm in a facility. I know I'm in a facility. All these things and all these aesthetics about it represent a facility. However, even though there's a bathroom, it's not realistic. There's nothing realistic about this place. It's weird. So the new GoldenEye game says, that was a really good dream I had. Let me imagine if that dream was reality and was a dam or a facility that actually looked and functioned like a dam or
a
facility.
So much more realistic. Game.
It's much more realistic, but it's
there are still giant red buttons on laptops you can hit to launch missiles.
Well, that's just reality. I mean,
okay,
that's the world we live in.
That's true.
So they took the film and readapted it. They took the game and readapted it, but they actually homogenized the story. In the original story, it takes place 9 years before. It's a flashback where 006 ends up getting killed. And then it flashes forward, and M tells Bond to investigate a bunch of circumstantial events involving an EMP-proof helicopter. And then the GoldenEye satellite goes off. And it's really kind of weirdly complicated. This game reimagines it as a Daniel Craig Bond movie. So it's very fast-paced. It's very intense. It doesn't have any sort of cartoon aspects to it, which I actually love about James Bond and quite frankly miss. It's bad when they take it too far, like every other Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie.
Is there parkour in it?
No.
Is James Bond Jr. in it?
You know, it's funny, actually. Eurocom, the company that made this game, has been around for a long time. And one of the first games they ever made was James Bond Jr. for NES and Super Nintendo.
Oh, Christ.
Yay.
But they also made Dead Space Extraction, so yay!
Yay!
So what they've done with this game is there's no flashback. It all takes place in the present day. Bond and Trevelyan are going to this Russian base to get this arms dealer, which is relatively what the original story was about. And while they're there, they see an EMP-proof helicopter. And they're like, what the hell is that? Well, Bond's like, what the hell is that? And Alec's like, just ignore that because he doesn't want you to know he's a traitor. So Bond's like, no, I've got to investigate that. I need to send that back to MI6. And then one thing leads to another. Alex ends up getting killed, allegedly.
Does he?
But he's not, because it's this GoldenEye story. And you escape. And then because of the evidence of seeing that helicopter there, then Bond puts MI6 on this trail for, like, where the helicopter go, who was involved with it, and the story just leads one thing after another, takes a gap of 9 years, eliminates it, and then takes a story that was kind of stretched out over a lot of time in this really intense, fast-paced, Daniel Craig-style Bond movie Casino Royale took place in an extremely short expanse of time. Quantum of Solace followed immediately after and was basically dealing with Bond being a workaholic, insomniac serial killer. It just didn't stop, and it doesn't stop in this game either, and that's actually kind of brilliant, even though I miss Xenia on a top strangling people with her thighs.
Which is her special attack in multiplayer.
I wish.
How's the music in this game?
The music in the game is...
Because I saw the nightclub stage, and the music sounded incredible.
The music in the game is really good. It's consistent with all modern James Bond scores. The score is really, really good. Like all modern game scores, this is an impressive score. This is the quality that could be in just any major motion picture. But it doesn't actually stand out in any way, except the nightclub sequences were
I like the
really,
trance
really
cool. music.
Yeah, there's some trance and chill music during this like crazy scene in this club. And you're just like going through this like, crowd of people looking for someone with a face scanner on a cell phone. And then eventually the level deteriorates into firefighting, and there's this like Billie Holiday trance cover, and it's this like easygoing, weird, chill music, and there's these Russians trying to kill you, and you're like, this is so strange. but it's awesome.
Yeah.
I actually tracked down what both of those songs in the club were, and there's a link to it on Nerdy Show where you can check those songs out. But I really love the original GoldenEye 64 score. It was influenced by the score of the film a lot, which was...
Well, didn't it use the composer for the new movies? To do the game?
You know, I don't know. I don't know who did this.
It sounds similar.
Yeah, it does. It does sound similar. I wouldn't be surprised if the guy who did the score for the most recent Bond
films. Yeah, because they definitely got the same voice actors that do the characters.
Yeah, it's true. The original GoldenEye score, though, was based on, loosely, the score from the film. Only loosely. They had certain kind of things that were similar about it. And the score from the film was, in my opinion, like the best James Bond score of all time. It's not a classic James Bond score by any means, but it's one of my favorite film soundtracks ever. It's done by Eric Serra, who's the same guy who did the score for Fifth Element, because he does the score to pretty much all Luc Besson's movies. Yeah, and it's an amazing score. And it was actually really criticized at the time because it was too different. It's got like lots of strange effects in it. And
whatever.
Let's actually play a track from that, just to sort of compare and contrast two pieces of GoldenEye score. We're going to play the Frigate music, except this is an interesting version of the Frigate music. Matt Downham of Mattcraft did a compilation recently where he put together every single track from the original GoldenEye soundtrack that he could find, including alternate variations and unused music from the score. And this is actually a piece of GoldenEye score from the composer Grant Kirkhope's website. This is a demo of the song before it was created so that it would loop, before it was kind of dumbed down a little bit into the MIDI synths needed for N64's processor. So this is a clean version of the Frigate music with more going on in it than it was before. I always thought the Frigate music had some pretty interesting Bond influences in it outside of the GoldenEye score.
I don't remember the Frigate music
at
all.
It has like notes of the License to Kill theme by Gladys Knight and a little bit of Duran Duran's View to a Kill in it. And in this alternate version, you can actually hear that more. Following that, we're going to have A Pleasant Drive in St. Petersburg by Eric Serra, which is the music that plays when Bond's driving a tank through the streets.
Nice.
controller, which
yes.
looks different from every other controller. It's like a classic controller, but with better
well,
buttons.
Well, actually, it's the classic Pro controller and normal versions of that have been out for a while now.
Yeah,
really?
I think it originally came with Monster Hunter. That was when it first came out. I've got one of those. I love it.
I used it. It was better than every other controller for the Wii. I liked it.
Definitely agree there.
Yeah. Even though it's not, you know, a motion sensor controller, it's really good for everything. Like
it's like between the PlayStation controller and the GameCube
it's
controller.
It's like a new Smash Brothers controller. It's great.
And you can use it for Smash Brothers.
Yes.
One of the interesting things about the game is the control schemes. I mean, we're going to talk about every aspect of this that we can approach it from, but I think the first thing that you notice when you pick up the game is that there's a lot of different ways to control it. At E3, we wanted to demo it with the Wii controls because we suspected that would be the most different, and they only had us demo it with the classic controller. So I've tried both at this point, and at first I was like, I like the Wii controls. I like having like a pointer on the screen. I like how fast it is. It reminded me of Metroid Prime 3. But it was all right, but like looking from side to side and up and down were a little weird because you move with the nunchuck stick and you look and you kind of have to like gesture yourself. I wasn't 100% sold on it. And then I went to the classic controller and I thought for a while, I'm totally set on using the classic controller. But then I spent some more time with the Wii controls and now I don't know. Now I kind of play them both off and on and I don't know how I feel about it because they're both really good and they both do different things. Actually, the Wii controls do some cool things that the classic controller doesn't do at all. For example, when you're crouched and behind an object, you can actually use the nunchuck and tilt it side to side to lean out
yeah,
and peek
saw
from
that.
Behind it.
And you can't do that on any of the other
controllers.
No, you can't. Now, do you actually lean out, or you actually can like pop out of the side of a box and like shoot?
You lean out in what is a very natural kind of I'm peeking out from behind a box
kind
of.
That's so weird that you can only do that on one of the.
You can use the cover system is absolutely fine. Like you can get behind, you can crouch behind an object, you can pop up with the sights and shoot somebody, and it works as you would expect.
But in multiplayer, you could pop up sideways from a box.
Yeah, but leaning behind a corner with a gesture is completely amazing.
It's not the first time that Wii has given special moves that you can only do with the Wiimote.
But the thing about this one is it comes with a controller. You'd think they would want you to use that special controller, and yet it doesn't let you do something.
It's strange. They do and they don't. And I don't know what to make of that decision.
Mm-hmm.
I do know, though, that I've played it with the Wii Zapper, and I like the Wii Zapper. I like the Umbrella Chronicles and the Darkside Chronicles. I haven't actually played any other games with it, but I like those rail shooters. And do not use the Wii Zapper for this. It is awful. Actually.
Interesting.
So how's the multiplayer? Does it feel like the original? Because I actually played it with you.
Well, why don't you tell me what you think?
I loved it. I loved it because you can play it with like four people split screen, which you can't do anymore with first person shooters on 360 or PS3. Usually it's just two people on one console or all online. Like you can't sit in a room with four friends and play it. This game you can, which is why it was absolutely awesome the other day when we played it. And it was great.
Yeah. Brandon and Colin and I had a amazing session last night where we played GoldenEye multiplayer for hours, and it was just like the original. The maps are different. There's really not any that have any resemblance.
Some of the maps are very confusing and big.
To the original maps. Even if they have the same names, they're not the same.
Yeah.
It still was great because the feel of the game is spot on. It's just like the streamlined nature of the original game.
It's really good. The multiplayer does very much feel like a reboot of the original multiplayer. You know, it's not like first-person shooters nowadays where you're just like, I'm getting experience points and leveling up and customizing my character. And you might think that's a bad thing.
But you can do that, though, in the online version.
Oh, really?
Yeah, online gameplay and system gameplay are completely different.
Well, I didn't want that. I love the multiplayer just because I can play it with my friends in one room. And it's amazing.
Well, you can have it all. That's what's great about it. You can have it all. You can have a Call of Duty clone gameplay thing with GoldenEye controls.
But I do need to point out that this game is a bit of a Call of Duty clone. It does do certain things that are almost exactly the same.
It is, and that's a major criticism of the game.
Yes,
but
it works really, really well. And it's like, how else do you do FPSs nowadays, really?
Yeah.
They all have mostly the same thing, so.
How is the online play? Is it smooth?
It is smooth, yeah. There was only a couple instances of just the expected kind of jumping around that happens from time to time in any game. And it was, I mean, I've had some fucking disasters with Wii games in the past, like Smash Brothers, for example.
It seems like more of them have really crappy online gameplay than good ones.
Definitely.
So.
This was 100% perfect, actually. And the only complaint is that there's no microphone, which is a pretty common complaint for Wii stuff.
You've got the mic you can use that you came with.
Wii Speak is awful.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think it depends on the game. Some games...
it's Animal Crossing.
Yeah, it's good in that one, and Monster Hunter, bad. The audio quality is just horrendous.
One of the things we liked best about the multiplayer was that...
the golden gun.
Yes, the just regular deathmatch is all good and well, but the Golden Gun mode is so good. Once we found that, we did not stop playing it
at all. It's basically one Golden Gun spawns. It's an instant kill. It gives you like 5 points instead of one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the previous Golden Gun mode was just there's a Golden Gun in the game
and you just kill people.
And it's just
one shot kill. No, this has infinite bullets. Everyone goes for it. Everyone kills each other for it. And all you try to do is kill people with the gun and try to win the game really fast.
Because what it does is it creates a point system. So you set how many points you want the match to last till, so say 20 points, and each normal kill counts for 1 point, but the Golden Gun counts for 5. So if you're good with that, you can end that game in 4 shots.
And it's funny, because you could just, if you see the Golden Gun, you could just, like, lay mines there, booby trap it, too, and just hope that someone runs into it and explodes, so that was great. Also, Oddjob can throw his hat, and I want to mention that, because it's something I didn't have in the original, and I love throwing his goddamn hat. You can get it back, you can throw it, like, 3 times, I don't know where he keeps them.
You throw it 3 times, and then
you can die and get 3 more. You can hit someone in the crotch, and they just fall dead.
But let me talk about that, because that's actually an interesting point. When they debuted the game at E3... Oddjob was one of the playable characters, Scaramango was one of the playable characters, and Jaws was one of the playable characters. The representative there told us that there was going to be special abilities for all those characters.
And that's not true.
This is not true. Oddjob, I guess they did the hat thing, they announced the hat thing, and it was playable in the demo, so they kept it. However, they tried out a bunch of different special moves for everybody else and decided that it wasn't in the cards. If I remember correctly, I think Jaws may have had his special ability intact. I know they tried biting.
You shouldn't be able to, bite people.
What they ended up doing was he threw out multiple grenades at once, but they axed that. That's not in there either.
People usually have, like, a bigger grenade now or just, like, some mines you could throw on the ground, and that's pretty much it.
It's not like Oddjob has hats and no one has anything comparable. The hats are just kind of, like, funky boomerang grenades.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're not even necessarily as good. They're just kind of funny.
Yeah, it's just funny when you're trying to shoot someone and then a hat flies by your face. You're like, what the hell was that? And then you die. You're like, wow, okay.
It's just too bad that, like, Scaramanga doesn't have... What they told us, actually, at E3 was that Scaramanga, who's the man with the golden gun, was going to have a golden gun, and you could fire it once for a one-hit kill per match or something like that.
Yeah.
And I guess just the intricacies of all those characters having special abilities was just too much, because there's a lot of characters.
There was like 30-plus multiplayer characters.
It really sounds like a complete mess to pull that off.
Yeah. A major difference between online multiplayer and System 4 player is that you have the whole variety of characters to choose from when it's on the system, but on online it's...
So maybe they all have special abilities online.
No, they're not available online at all.
Okay.
See, I would love Boris to have the special ability that he just can't die. Just
I am impressive. He goes, I am invincible. Just explodes and anything around him dies, but he's safe.
Well, speaking of exploding, there's some really, really cool alternate game functions other than Golden Gun.
Like Tiny Man.
There's knick-knack mode, where you become extremely small and you can't jump over anything.
You can throw tiny hats. And you're so small that it takes forever to go up the stairs. And it's great when you're watching two tiny people the size of, like, one stair fighting it off. And one's throwing a hat, one's throwing a tiny grenade, and you're just like, eh. It's hilarious.
Well, there's also singularity mode, which is if you have physical contact with another player, a melee attack or otherwise,
you both explode.
And there's another one. I forget. I think it's called move your feet, where if you stop moving for longer than a few seconds, you explode.
Can you do those things in multiplayer?
Yes. Oh, wait.
I mean, online.
No.
Because that'd be great if, like, whoever hosts the server or whatever could, like, make those settings and not tell anyone, so people would just try to snipe and they just explode for no reason.
Don't quote me on that. I haven't tested that specifically, but I imagine the answer is no. Did you know that Rare made a remake of GoldenEye?
I did, actually. They shot...
It's called Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark is an amazing game, and I love that you can play it on Xbox Live now. But, so Johnny, you'd heard about this.
Didn't they get it all done and everything, and then I think Microsoft told them... Who was it that said no?
It was Nintendo that said
no. Oh, it was Nintendo, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I kind of heard that this was happening, but I didn't realize until I started looking into it how far it had gone, that they had finished...
It was done, basically.
Yeah. All the treatment that they did for Perfect Dark on Xbox Live was done for GoldenEye. It was in the can. And Activision, who currently owns the James Bond video game rights, signed off on it, even though they would just be, like, making no money. They wanted it.
So Nintendo and Rare broke up. They had a fight, and it never got released.
Well, this was in 2005.
Oh, shit.
Microsoft already owned Rare, and Microsoft was like, okay, this is fine. We want GoldenEye to be out. We want that to happen. The problem is that Nintendo had a joint partnership in the game. So Microsoft bought Rare, therefore Microsoft owned a portion of GoldenEye. And Nintendo also owned a portion of GoldenEye. And then Activision owned the rights to James Bond video games. So Activision, who produced the new GoldenEye game, signed off on this. They said, fine. We just want it to happen, fine. And Nintendo was like, no, absolutely not. And that's actually a big point of contention with this game. It's a very good game. It's a fun game. It's got its flaws. It's got shitty graphics, but I actually, that's not a problem for me. I think the graphics are more than good enough, and the gameplay is more than good enough
to
speak
for. They're pretty good graphics for the Wii. I mean,
that's a huge stumbling block for some people.
Not as good as Resident Evil 4.
But the problem with this game is that it should be cross-platform. It should be on other systems. They've done some cool stuff with the Wii controls, but they haven't done enough to actually make it different. And, more people should be able to play this. But Nintendo seem like they're just being greedy about it. The game that Rare made, the Xbox Live GoldenEye, was a perfect reproduction of GoldenEye, just like the Perfect Dark one was. It was the actual game with the original maps. And that's an experience that I won't get to have on a modern system playing online with my friends because Nintendo said, no, we want the money. No, we want it on our system. Even though that game, that remake, that Xbox Live remake, they were offering it to Nintendo. This is my understanding. They were offering it to Nintendo to also have on the Wii. So, thanks, guys.
Well.
Yeah, a lot of people were mad at Nintendo for that. Yeah.
It's a download-only game, right? And the Wii, I mean, you really can't download a full game like that.
Then you can buy a cheap disc, an affordable budget-priced disc. I don't know.
I guess.
There's pictures and footage linked on the posting for this episode. Don't forget, guys, we have the US1 fan love contest, so you can take the space trucker character who Brian resurrected from Marvel's graveyard in his Infinity Gauntlet series and show that ridiculous character some fan love. Doesn't even matter if you don't know anything about him. Just take that idea and run with it. Show Marvel that you want more comics about ridiculous space truckers. Bye, I'm Cap.
I am Brandon.
I'm Jono.
I'm Hans.
And this is the Queen, signing off. Good evening.
When I die, fuck it, I wanna go to hell. Cause I'm a piece of shit, it ain't hard to fucking tell. It don't make sense going to heaven with the goody goodies dressed in white. I like black Timbs and black hoodies. God will probably have me on some real strict shit. No sleeping all day, no getting my dick licked. Hanging with the goody goodies, lounging in paradise. Fuck that shit, I wanna tote guns and shoot dice. All my life I've been considered as the worst. Lying to my mother, even stealing out a purse. I swear to God, I wanna just slip my wrists and end this bullshit. Throw the magnum to my head, threaten to pull shit. And squeeze until the bed's completely red. I'm glad I'm dead. I work this fucking boot ahead. The stress is building up, I can't believe suicide's on my fucking mind. I wanna leave, I swear to God, I feel like death is fucking calling me. But nah, you wouldn't understand.
Yes, sir!
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show! Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Rubino branch of Bone Trade!
If you have questions or comments, feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com! For more episodes of Nerdy Show, Dungeons and Doritos, comics, videos, and more, go to nerdyshow.com!
Sarsaparilla.
Grow mass with sass.
Don't touch my horses. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @NerdyShow and friend us on Facebook. If you enjoy tea, crumpets, and what you've heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, give us your money by visiting the Nerdy Store and picking up a t-shirt, or donate directly for cool nerdy packs. Now, off with their heads! Off with them! All of them!
We're
going to
turn this into a Pokemon episode.
Fable.
Scyther.
Nonsense.
Charmander. Do-do-do-do.
Charmander. Char-char. Mega.